The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Christmas. It's the joyous time. As we sang some songs, we should be rejoicing and have joy. But it's not always that way. Joy is hard to come by, but we need to work at it. And I chose the movie for this sermon, the movie Home Alone. And I like that movie because it reminds me of when I was a little kid. My mom's here this morning. She wasn't supposed to be here. And I was going to tell the story, but I know she'll vouch for me because it's true. I was just like this kid. I was kind of a good kid, but I started growing up and started messing around. And I remember, she'll remember right now, we had some neighbors that lived in the corner. We lived mid-block. And long story short, we were raised kind of poor. We didn't have many things. And when we played baseball, we used the ball for different things. And this is a whole nother series. We used that. We're at my friend's house at the corner. The family's, the last name was Ponces. The Ponces live in the corner. They're friends of ours. So I'm up bad, and we had this big old 2x4, and they're pitching me a spray can. So I'm missing. And finally, I nailed it. I got a home run. But when I nailed this spray can, it bursted midway, and it hit the Ponces boy in the face. And when I hit him, it was like a moment. Everyone froze, and I ran home. I ran home, and guess where little kid runs to go hide? Right, under the bed. So I'm hiding under. My mom just see me flying by. I'm sure she was cooking. Like, what's wrong with him? I was very hyper, so she just blew it off. And sure enough, here comes the mother of the child. Your son did this. And mom, no, he didn't. Come here, son. Tell him you didn't. I still had some black paint because it kind of splattered on me. Yes, I did. So I relate with this movie, Home Alone. And you know what? A lot of times we can get into things we shouldn't do. We say a lot of things we shouldn't. We act in ways we shouldn't, even before God. Amen. So I believe the clip is ready. And we're going to show that here if we shoot that up. I like that piece because it hits home. It hits reality. Jeremiah spoke last week, and he kept mentioning the word home, and he was touching a lot of remind me of my home, and there's a lot of split-ups and fights and families, and the Home Alone movie just came to mind, so I said, I figure I'll use this one. But I'm calling this message this morning, The Joy of Jesus, because this is the Christmas season. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about the birth of our Lord and Savior. I loved what Victor did this morning. I had no contact with Victor other than I'm not playing drums this week. Victor, find a drummer. And thank you, Aaron, whoever you're at. The songs he picked were all about the Savior being born. See, guys, Christmas, it's about Jesus coming into this world and saving us from self, because we can be ugly people sometimes. We can react in a very hard way and harsh way sometimes, and it's only through Christ we'll have that. And today, we're missing that mark. Christmas is about Jesus, period. And a lot of times, that'll offend people. It offends people to the point that today we're using seasons, greetings, happy holidays. They don't want to say Merry Christmas. I'm sorry, but it's Merry Christmas. Oh, what a joy to be in Jesus. They don't want to use the word Christmas because it has Christ in it. See, it offends them, so they're changing it. They're scooting God out of the picture and Christ our Savior. And I know a lot of you have seen the news of the evil that's just rampaging, growing, ever so every day. I pray for the people in Connecticut. I'm sure you all heard it and seen it. A 20-year-old goes in there and blasts his mom and blasts innocent kids in the school. That is evil. We're missing the mark. What's happening to the joy of Jesus? And folks, I know some of us, including myself, we're hurting. We have personal issues inside that are there. I'll share some myself. In a 7-month period this year, and I give God the glory, and I'll say it with a smile because it was His will. I lost 2 loved ones in 1 year. I lost my wife. I lost my dad. I even lost my favorite dog. He died of cancer as well, right after my wife. But I can smile because I know where they're at. They knew the Savior. My wife knew where she was going. My dad always told me next to his dying bed, son, why isn't he taking me home? I want to go to my home. My dad knew. Well, my dog probably didn't, but I prayed for him. I always prayed for my dog too. And so you can smile. You can rejoice. It's going to be hard sometimes. And I prayed real hard all week not to cry in this intro. Because those are loved ones we miss. And I'm sure some of you are there too. But you can get through it. Just grab on the joy of Jesus. So what happened? What is happening today with the joy of Jesus? With joy, period, in general. You know what happened? Evil came in. Evil came into this world. Most of us in this room know when it happened back in the garden. We need to go back, friends, where it all came in, when sin came in. It was catastrophic, man. It was global. How can I say that? Because when evil came in, God had a perfect plan. All he said is stay away from that tree and you're going to be. He made everything perfect. It was good. But when this evil came in, guess what? The weather even changed. I studied this as much as I could. Because think of this, when he made Adam and Eve and he saw that it was good, it was perfect. A lot of Bible scholars say the temperature was roughly at like 76 degrees all the time. They didn't even need clothes. They could lay anywhere and sleep. They weren't embarrassed. They had everything. It was perfect. But when sin came in, storms and lightning bolts and earthquakes, all of this universe mass things that happened globally, they came in. The weather changed. Animals became carnivorous. The animals, God did not create them to eat each other. There was no bloodshed. Every animal on this planet ate plants and leaves and branches and sticks. God had a perfect plan. But God is so immense in his omniscience that he knew evil was going to come in. So he already had a plan set up, even though we didn't know this was going to come in. But he knew. He was ready for it. And who can help us and save us through all this evil? Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born. But creation got hit. People started hating each other. First, a murder incident. Cain and Abel, brothers. Brothers. A brother killed a brother because he was jealous over some little campfire that was being burnt to God, a sacrifice. And he killed his own brother. Evil is what happened. And I love what Paul talks about here. Even Paul struggled with it. And we'll get into the text this morning in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 25. You'd have to excuse me, like I told Jeremiah. I have no PowerPoint, no topics, no themes, no points, few verses. And I'm going to close with an illustration that hopefully God will speak to all of us. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 25 says this. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, verse 23, but I see another law at work in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that is at work within my members. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in mind am slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. See, whenever we sin or mess up, sin is a hard word. Evil and the devil, people don't like to hear that a lot in sermons and churches. But it needs to be talked about. Sin is there. It's real. I'm sorry. And we commit it almost every day. It's our nature. And it's going to be there all the time. See, like this movie Home Alone, this little boy went out of his way to protect his home. That's how our spiritual lives and our physical lives should be. We need to protect our homes in prayer and in fellowship. We need to protect the homes of our heart as well through God's word at all costs. Oh, man, I don't got time. I got to work a lot. I got class. Sacrifice a few minutes. God will honor it. We need to protect our homes of our hearts and the homes that we physically live at through God's word, through Jesus Christ. But what happened? Evil came in. And it says here in this, verse 21, so I find this law at work. The word find there is the word eurisko in Greek, which we get the word derived from eureka. aha, I found it, I got it. God's Spirit was teaching Paul something new, which God wants to teach us something every day new. Through His Word and through His Spirit, He enlightens these things, which in the Greek it means to say just exactly that. Hey, I got it. Eureka, I find something here. What's he finding? A law. The word law in the Greek is nomon, which means a principle that which it was assigned to. See, we're all assigned to something. God assigned evil as well as good, and it all has its purpose. A lot of people at work, friends, tell me, hey, Frank, the world's coming to an end. The Mayans were right. It's going to end on December 31st. And what do you think about that? And I tell them, this is what I've told everyone that asked me that. The Mayans ran out of ink. That's all. The world's going to continue. It's going to end when God says. Because Jesus himself said he doesn't even know when the end time is. The angels, no one knows. God only knows. And he's going to make the last call. He's going to say, Jesus, go get your people. It's time to bring them home. Amen? But until then, Mayas, Kayas, whatever they are, hocus pocus, man. Don't buy it. I even have that truck driver from San Diego, my friend that came to the Lord. He has good questions now. He came, pulled in one morning, and he was real concerned. Frank, my son's concerned. He's in high school, and they're telling the world's going to end on December 31st. Were the Mayas right? Same thing. You know what, Mike? They ran out of ink. It's going to end when God says. When you see catastrophe coming to an end, you see that blood, the moon turn to blood, and everything Revelation talks about, and Israel's done with, so they think, that's when Christ is going to come. Just look up. Look for the white horse. Jesus is coming in a white horse for his people. But sin came in, and that's what's happening. So he found this law, this thing that had to be set in place in our lives. And then when it says, I want to, when it says, when I want to do good, the word I want to is pronounced telontil, which means the one who wills, wishes, or is ready to react, the person within us that's ready to do the good or the bad. It's the inner part of us that's ready to do the will, the wish, or act of what you need to do in the instant of that moment of whatever it is you're facing. See, God made it all perfect. And it goes on to say evil is right there. So I wanted to know what is, you know, when I word evil, I thought the devil's right there with a pitchfork poking my arm, Frank, do the wrong thing, cuss at her, lie, cheat, steal it, whatever, break it. Hurt that person. That's what I thought it meant. But no, it actually, it's the word pronounced kakon. Evil is kakon in the Greek, which means to do bad inwardly foul, or an inner malice flowing out of a morally rotten character. I've been sharing this short phrase with someone in this room a few days now, that we're like a piece of wood. Did you know wood? Whenever the tree grows and they cut it to use it for whatever, the rot's already in the wood. So in our natural moral state, we're rotten. Sorry, it's right there. There's rot in us. But we choose to use that rot when we react in our immoral character. Because our character can be rotten, folks. I can be rotten sometimes. Just because you see me up here speaking and teaching God's word, I'm not perfect. I can act rotten too. But I can very easily, and I need to quickly, go ask for forgiveness. And the rotten's gone. But remember, folks, there's rotten in us. It'll always be there. So I thought it was this demon. I always blame the devil. Sometimes it's self. Sometimes it's us. It's the rotten that's in us. Because listen, when this body decays, what does it turn into? I told this person the same thing. Worm food. We're going to rot. But where does your spirit go? Where's your spirit going to end up? Your soul. If you die without Christ. That's the decision that people need to start making. That's why it's so catastrophic evil right now. Rampant. Because they're kicking God out of the picture. Listen, it's sad that people pass in whatever form or manner they pass, be it illnesses, be it evil acts. But if you know Christ, you need to have a peace because you know where they went and where will we go to as well. We will be going to that place. So evil is always there, Paul says, and it's there with me. I like the word, I looked up there with me, another Greek word which is pronounced parakimachi. Parakimahi, which means this, two moral realities that lie side by side but totally oppose each other but still coexist next to each other. It's kind of like the cartoon, the angel devil. I want to have a good Christmas, but I'm going to be rotten to so-and-so. We can do that. We choose good or bad. I love the Greek because it breaks it down for us, folks. A lot of people say, why do you need to go study the Greek? Because it explains it a little deeper. It wakes us up and it wakes me up. I'm like, wow, I didn't know it meant that. Two realities that coexist. You know what that kind of reminds me? The tree in the garden. God said, don't eat of that tree of the fruit of the good and evil. It's right there. God had a perfect plan, but no, here we go. Went and took it anyway. Sometimes we do what we shouldn't do. Sometimes we say what we shouldn't say. And there's repercussion of it. And there's homes and families wondering, what's wrong with our family? What's going on? There's chaos. Well, Christ is not in the picture. Plus, we're reacting with that morally rotten character on top of it. We need to have the joy of Jesus and love them through it. At all costs. At all costs. Verse 24. It says this. Verse 22, I'm sorry. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. My inner being is a Greek word pronounced esso, which means the soul or the conscience. That's our where God would speak to us. That's where you make a lot of your choices and decisions. How you're going to act, how you're going to react, it's right there. Your esso part, your inner being. Because sometimes our inner being, the flesh comes out. And it wants to attack. It wants to defend itself. It wants to offend sometimes. It wants to be first sometimes. It wants to think about self most of the time first. They can come second. Right? Esso. And then I like what it says in verse 23. But I see another law at work. I looked up the word, but I see. And that word is pronounced blepo. Blepo, it means to see something physical with spiritual results. Something physical with spiritual results. A lot of you in this room have told me or shared with me that at times you were going through something and you prayed about it and you saw God move sometimes almost instantly, like right now, like Dana shared with this child. It happens instantly, and God shows you his hand that he's there. Sometimes you'll wait a year. Sometimes you'll wait 10 years. In my case, when I came to Christ, you know the story. 10 years later, here's my family. But I had to stay faithful. It cost a lot of work, and it's still a lot of more battles to fight because evil is there. God does not want to see all my family saved. None of my brothers know Jesus, but some of them believe in God. But they're nibbling now. They're asking questions. Again, my oldest brother's an atheist, and every time I've been running into him at mom's, when I visit mom, he always mentions that he talked to someone and shared their personal issues, their problems, and he always mentions God. And he always mentions his brother, Pastor Frank. Isn't that amazing? An atheist. You know what I see my oldest brother? He's just nibbling at the bait of salvation. And he has no idea what he's sharing because I share with him and he goes, counsels people that he works with, friends of his, biblically in an atheist way. Isn't that weird? He has no clue he's going to be a Christian one day. My daughter woke up this morning, Dad, what? I had this wildest, craziest dream. All your family was in church. I go, you must have had a nightmare. What did you eat last night? We're eating hot Cheetos at midnight again. And the first thing I did, I smiled across the table and I go, Lord, I'll take it. I want to see all my family right there. And I believe it. I believe it. But the evil is going to oppose it. Our situations are going to want to depress us and stop us. But don't give up. God can do it. God can do it. He's going to show you spiritual things. Blepo, to see something in the physical and spiritual results. A realm so a person can take needed action. Needed action. What do I need to do for my family? I need to keep praying for my brother's salvation. I believe that atheist brother one day he's going to be witnessing at work where he works about Jesus and not his physiological, whatever he calls it, his atheist view of the world. Evolutionists. He believes we came from a frog to a monkey and he always tells me about it and I say, okay. I just listen to him. I don't push Christ onto him. I need him to ask me or question me. Then I'll tell him of the biblical view. But I'm not going to force it on him, but I will continue to pray for him. Amen? So Paul was seeing something deep, something spiritual, something a lot of people want to have. And why don't we have it? Because we're not seeking. We're not really, truly seeking Jesus. or living a life for God. And we miss the mark. We're going to fall short. And God is not pounding on you right now. He's saying, I love you. Come on, get it. Understand what I'm trying to say to you in a spiritual essence. Let me wake you up and use you and grow you stronger. Let me help you get through that issue, that situation, that hurt you're in. It can be a little smoother. And he does do it. He is faithful. He is a good God. God's always right there. You're never home alone. Hey, Frank, what are you doing? I'm home. I'm right here, me and Jesus. I always want to say home alone. And I've told people I'm here just alone. They always answer me because they're Christians. Friends, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. Or I'd call my wife when she was home a lot in her ill bed. Hey, man, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm here home alone, me and Jesus. She always said that. Yo, Jesus. Yo, Jesus. That's all she said. She was faithful, man. It was her suffering that made me a stronger Christian. I learned a lot through her death. And we need to keep progressing and learning. And it's only through God's word. And remember, friends, evil will always be there. Your rottenness inside. Amen? I know I'm not going to be the only one raising my hand, but we can be rotten, right? I guess it's only me. I want all of you to pray for me after service. You guys are so holy. The members, it doesn't stop there. But I see another lot work. He's already seen some spiritual. The law of the members of my body. I said, members, okay. I've probably gotten a lot of fights and I've hurt people with these hands. And I've been hurt too. But it wasn't talking about that. The members word there in the Greek is pronounced melos. Melos, which is, get this, used in antiquity as instruments of war, especially for ships. That's the word Paul chose to use. How we can react inside, even in our thoughts. We're stabbing that person. Oh, I hate them. You're choking in your mind. Yeah, God bless you. You want to just slap them around. Your children, you want to wring their necks. Oh, come here, Mio, don't do that. In your mind, you're beating them with a stick. Instruments of war. Our mind could be a filthy instrument of war, can it? Man, we can hurt some people. And you smile, hey, have a good day. Oh, I'm going to get them next time. Instruments of war. Wow. That was a deep one for me. And it doesn't stop there. And Paul says, the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind. Jerry and Jeremiah have touched beautifully on some of these topics, even the series before this, on the mind, guys. See, my mind was perverse. Not that it's perfect now. My mind was evil. Not that it's perfect now. But I have fed at God's word continually as much as I can to the point where my language has changed. My character has changed. My attitude towards any given situation at any given time. And there's people here that are bloodily related to me and a woman that brought me into this world, my mother, that would vouch for that. Because my mom, I'll visit her here lately and she hears pastors or guys in Spanish on the TV and I'll walk in. Oh, mira, mira, he sounds like you when you talk. They see and hear the difference. See, it's God's word that's going to change us to have the joy at all costs. See, I like what Victor said this morning. I think he read my notes, which he didn't. We shouldn't always just celebrate Christmas because it's Christmas and Jesus. We should celebrate Jesus all the time. We should have joy in Christ all the time, not just because it's Christmas. Yes, it's important that that Savior came to be born to save us. It's very important. But we should always have the joy. Yes, we're going to have moments. We're going to shed some tears alone, crying, whatever. It's our nature. But get back up and grab that joy. Jesus is always ready there with open, loving arms, ready to feed us joy. Amen? This smile you see on this man, and the people always tell me, why are you always smiling? The joy of Jesus. It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. That's all I can say. And that's what it is. And people are missing it. I've contemplated and pondered all week, even before I heard about the killing. I knew about the killing Friday morning like everyone else. But since Monday all this week, just evil and killing came to mind. And it confirmed it. I need to talk about evil and sin because here's this 20-year-old boy. I've pondered what happened when he was growing up. I mean, he lived in one of the safest, supposedly, cities in the world. Connecticut, this little city there, supposedly is one of the safest cities. People always happy. Everyone knew each other, kind of like in Brawley or El Centro. We all know each other. Oh, there goes so-and-so. He has a dog and a cat and two trees. It's true. Come on. Got a minute. What happened to this boy? Wow. Did he get loved enough? I don't know. I'm just asking. But I pray for them. I pray for the mom's loss. I pray she's in heaven with God. And this boy needs Jesus. People are thinking about giving him the death penalty or whatever. I read a lot on that all week. But I've been praying for this poor guy. He needs Jesus. God forgives, man. God will always forgive anything we've done. We just got to get back up and keep moving and grab the joy. Because you can get back up and have a really hard attitude. There's people I smile at and I greet. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. And they smile, their face cracks. I'm fine. Like Jerry says, they're fine. They're all tore up inside. I've came up to some of you know what? Pray for me. I'm going through this. Personally, I've told you I'm going through stuff. Mainly with Jeremiah. Dude, I'm going through this. I need that. And we need to do that. That's where the joy comes. And we saw it firsthand this morning through a prayer for a child. That took, what, 5 minutes, Dana? She's like, wait, what do you mean wait? The child is okay now. Praise the Lord. Joy to Jesus. Amen? It doesn't stop there. The mind can be evil. But see, God put our mind and created this organ in our head because that's where he talks to us, through faith. I know a lot of us, like me, we hear little voices. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? That's where God is talking to you. And a lot of times, folks, you know why we don't hear it? We're too busy and we're not in God's word. We need to stop for a second and reflect what we're hearing in our mind and what's going on before you and how we'll react. What does God's word say? First of all, it says have the joy of Christ. We need to be like Jesus. He suffered. We're going to suffer. God's hand was on his life. God's hand is on our lives. No matter how ugly it can be, God is right there. He is always going to be with us. You're never home alone. Protect your home at all costs. And in our mind, we can be our own prisoners. It says, it's making me a prisoner in my mind. That word, make me a prisoner, it's a Greek. It's pronounced ahik malotizo, which means this, to ensnare as in a web, like a spider web. You're all tangled up. Have you ever been tangled in spider webs? I have. I work in a warehouse, a lot of spiders in the summer, and you get stuck. When you move more, guess what happens? You tangle more. When you fight it more, you get more entangled in the web. And that's our nature. We want to fight it and, no, I got this, and no, I don't need help. But no, you're webbing yourself more. You're being ensnared, and you're getting all, before you're all just tangled up. How you doing? I am great, man. Let me walk over here and get some coffee. Hey, God bless you, man. Good to see you. We're all webbed up. It happens. And that's what ensnares us. And that's where we miss the mark. We lose it. We lose it. And you're your own prisoner. I like what it says here, the rest of the Greek. It says, one who cares about nothing in that moment or instant. I don't care. Too bad they're going through that. That's pretty bad. You've been ensnared. You've been ensnared by self. And evil alongside with it. Because we chose it. We chose to react like that. And then it says, the last word, I'm a prisoner of the law of what? Sin. The word we don't like to hear, sin. You know why we don't like to hear the word sin? Spell it, S-I-N. Who's right in the middle? I. We don't like the word sin. So I said, gosh, Lord, I am pretty bad. No, look up the word sin. Okay. And it's pronounced ham. You're not a ham, okay? It says ham artichach, which means this. I've said it earlier. You're missing the mark. We missed the mark. But through God's love, he will help you back up. But a lot of us are missing the mark, and we don't care. We keep missing it all the way. Hey, first base is this one. No, it's over here. No, on third base. We don't care. We're missing the mark. That's what it is. A lot of people are missing the mark. We're putting Jesus on the shelf. We'll do Jesus later. We'll do church another time. We're missing the mark. That's what sin means. That's all. We're missing it, guys. And I love 24. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. All the songs Victor chose, they had a lot of these words. What a wretched people we are, aren't we? Can you imagine or just contemplate right now in your mind what wretched really means? I didn't really know. I thought it was the scum of the earth. Which I was, and I can be sometimes, but I was wretched before Christ. I was evil. I wanted to hurt people. I caused my mom and my dad a lot of headaches. They were almost going to divorce because of my drug habit. I was growing marijuana under my bed, and my mom was trying to cover it up, and my dad was upset, and I feel bad. Now I feel bad. I thought it was a cool thing to do. My friends were growing it. I told her, Mom, here's it in a soup or something. My parents went through heck with me. Then one night, under my whole bed, I put tube lights to grow these plants. And this is how I got caught. My dad's watching the news that afternoon, and I'm putting these tubes and wires all over the place, and I had a short. Well, guess what? I blacked out the whole house. My dad walks in with a flashlight. What are you doing? I'm laying under my bed. What? What the heck? I shorted out the whole house, which caused almost a divorce from my parents. Evil. I was rotten. We can be that way. But thanks be to Jesus. He saved me and changed me. He's renewing my mind, my character, my attitude, my being. And I want it more every day. And we can grow stronger in Christ. But we can be wretched sometimes. It says to have a callous character. Have you ever had callous? I've worked hard labor all my life, and I can stick needles in these calluses. I don't even feel it. We can be callous sometimes. We can be very wretched. But it says in verse 25, thanks be to who? God. Through who? Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus only, folks. The cross. The price he paid. Can't you at least have joy for that? Someone died for you and for me. For the wretchedness we can be. How wretched we can be. How evil we can be. And I'll close with this illustration. You see, when God thought of us, when he thought of you and me, he brought you into this world. He had plans for you. This is us as a little child. We're a pretty little plant. Huh? Pretty little plant. I have plans for you, my son and my daughter. It's going to be rough sometimes, but just trust me. Follow me. I have great plans for you. And we start growing and growing. And of course, especially the teenagers, once they're 18, they think they know it all. They grow up. We grow up. And we have our own plans. We make our own ways, our own standards, our own values, our own principles. I don't need God. I'm going to be a wall in someone's house. I'm going to be part of that building. I want to be part of that nightclub over there. The drinking, the partying. And this wood's been around. It's pretty beat up. And that's what we become. Just a piece of wood. But in all reality, God had another plan. And here you are, all tore up, wretched, issues, problems, financial, spiritual, marital, physical. Missing people, praying for people, be it whatever. Here you are stuck, thinking you were going to just be a board or a wall for someone. But God had other plans. And when you finally make that decision for Jesus Christ, he changes you. He makes you who you were supposed to be and the purpose you had. And you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And he makes you a beautiful drum. He has another plan for you and me. You probably wanted to be that wall, that piece of board, but God has other plans for your family members, for your situations. And then you come to Christ just like me. I became a Christian 13 years ago. And here I thought I had it going on. I had a Bible under my armpit. I was preaching at everyone, telling them they were going to hell. 8 months into it, I fall away and leave my wife and home. Because, see, I looked pretty good on the outside, but God wasn't done. See? That sounds like real crud. I needed work. You can look good on the outside, folks. But it needs to be tuned up for Jesus. It needs to be worked on. And then the Holy Spirit starts grabbing a hold of you. Then God's hand comes into your life. And he'll want to tune you up and work on you and strengthen you and tighten up the areas that need work. And he'll tap you. Oh, okay, now you're doing pretty good. Now we're burning with gas. Amen? And then he says, I think you're ready. but not quite. And then when we think, oh, I got a good sound, I'm ready to be a pastor, a preacher, a leader. I'm ready to protect my home and be that husband, that wife. Are you really? Are you in tune with Jesus? You need to be ready with all cost. Protect your home. Serve Jesus. Show him you love him first. And God will provide the rest. And once God knows, okay, you're ready, but you still feel alone. This is missing something, right? What's it missing? Friends, the rest of the family comes in to help. There's a family that helps. And then he puts you into a group of people, your family, your home, but still you feel alone. It's just me. No, you're not alone. You're not alone. There's another people. There's others around you. There's others around you. There's people. There's churches that want to be a part of you. That always want to help you. That believe in Jesus with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus loves you. And he wants a newness in your life. He wants to start that newness. You see? When you become a Christian, you need to work in unity. Starting in your home first. With your family, your loved ones, then it explodes out into your church and into your communities. Amen? That's what Paul is talking about. The struggles in life we will have, the evil and rottenness will always be there. But through Jesus Christ, things can change and things can happen. Amen? If the worship team will come up, I will close in prayer. So everybody, please stand with me. Stand with me. I rarely do this, but everyone stand with me. And the worship team may start softly. I don't know which song we're closing with. But please, everyone, bow your head, close your eyes. Everyone, just bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Lord and Savior, as the saints would pray with me. If you've never received Jesus in your heart, he is knocking on your heart right now. He wants to polish up your life like the drum we just saw. He wants to fix your situation. He wants to get you through the problem you're facing. He wants to encourage you to keep going. He wants to bless you. He wants to love you. So if you've never received Jesus in your heart right now, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come up. I'm just going to hope God speaks to you and that you would pray with me this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and change me. Forgive me. I have sinned against you and you only. Come into my life and change me. I love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, you have made or transcended into a new life, into a new family. He's going to start moving in your life like you've never known. And if you're here this morning with situations as a Christian, I have my own. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the newness. Thank you for sending us the Savior. The baby was born in the manger for our salvation, our freedom, our redemption. Thank you for the Redeemer that lives and will always live and one day come for his people, his loved ones. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You